The number of women-owned businesses ballooned by 74% between 1997 and 2015. That's according to American Express Open. And the number of businesses owned by black women up 322% since 1997. Amy Heimerl is with us now. Amy looked into the fastest growing group of entrepreneurs in America in her report for Fortune. Amy, what is driving the growth of women-owned firms?
Well, I think you see two things. One is that at the beginning of this report in 1997, you know, we didn't have nearly as many businesses owned by black women. So when you're starting that low, it's easy to have a 322% growth. But even more importantly is the fact that women are finding themselves cut out of the types of positions and corporate hallways they want to be in. So they're taking it upon themselves to create jobs for their families, create jobs for themselves. They are actually looking at it and saying, I can work as many hours and often more as an entrepreneur, but I get more flexibility so I can take care of my children or my ailing parents or whatever it is that they need to do by creating the flexible job, even if, you know, all entrepreneurs would tell you it's actually a lot more work to work for yourself than it is to work for someone else.
But what you're saying applies really to women across the board, doesn't it?
It does. When I spoke with Margaret Dorfman of the U.S. Women's Chamber, she told me that sort of all of the factors that affect women, you know, access to capital, sort of needing flexible schedules, those are universal. But when you talk about African-American women or Latina women, the negatives in society that affect women are just that much worse for them. So she's not surprised to see more and more minority women deciding to take entrepreneurship on.
So give us some examples of the kinds of businesses being created by these minority women.
You know, they're all over the map right now. Service industry is incredibly large, healthcare, things like that, but also small manufacturing. That's a significant area. We're actually seeing some uptick in construction as well.
This is a woman saying, I'm going to be my own boss, I'm going to create my own company, and they're doing construction.
Yes, we've got a woman right here in Detroit who runs a company called Building Hugger. She's not a black-owned business. She is white, but she decided to go into construction herself because she found that she had a skill for restoring the old historic windows. And with all of the restoration work happening on Detroit homes, her business is in high demand. People looking at, do I need to buy new windows or do I try to figure out how to rehabilitate those that were already there?
I'm curious, as you look at the kinds of businesses being created, particularly by the black women, are they sustainable?
Yes, absolutely.
And why is that?
Just like any small business, we have to be really honest about the facts on the ground, which is that half of all small businesses fail. It's worse if you're in the restaurant industry, but the restaurant industry isn't where we're seeing a lot of the black-owned businesses starting, especially right here in sort of Metro Detroit. We're actually seeing it, if it's food, it's more on food production. So they're looking at taking their grandmother's recipe and turning it into a product they can sell through, you know, either wholesale or, you know, Whole Foods. And we're seeing a huge rise in that in Detroit right now, which is, you know, indicative of actually what's happening across the country as people are actually saying, you know, restaurants are interesting, but I don't necessarily want to be in service. I want to be in manufacturing. And so we're seeing some of this urban manufacturing, which tends to tie right in with the urban food movement.
Are there sources of help for women entrepreneurs in Michigan and then particularly for the black women entrepreneurs?
So there are. One of the places I talk about quite frequently is the Detroit Microloan Collaborative Fund. It's open to anybody, but is specifically targeting minorities. But this is a source of loan funds for people who are just getting off the ground, who are very nascent, the kinds of businesses a bank wouldn't even look at. But they can help them with everything from how to get their business plan done to dealing with some of the issues that can come with poverty, like, you know, how to get your car fixed, how to get your, you know, reliable transportation for yourself or your children, help them grow their business, give them the loans they need, which are usually very micro at this stage, $5,000, $10,000, get them some clients, help them find success, and then they work them towards being bankable to something like a Huntington or a Fifth Third or a Comerica wanting to take the risk on them. So I think there's a lot of layering on of resources. The Build Institute here in Detroit is one that is really remarkable. It started 4 or 5 years ago. They do business training for anybody, but about 60% of their members of a minority group. And they teach everything from, again, the basics of the financials to things like how to find your break-even point, because so many times when people start small businesses, they don't understand the technical. All small business owners are really great at the product or service they offer, whether that is making a food product or a widget or whatever it is, but almost every small business owner struggles with the harder part of how to actually run your business. And so that's where all of these educational programs are so vital, because we want to get them the same kind of technical assistance that the high-tech, STEM, high-growth types of companies have access to.
Amy, I got the sense from reading your story in Fortune that most of these businesses tend to be kind of about one woman creating a business to give herself a job. And I'm wondering, what are you hearing about what will it take for these women to grow their businesses from that one-woman show that's kind of treading water to something that's high growth that would create jobs and make opportunities within their communities?
Only about 10% of women-owned businesses actually have employees. Male-owned businesses, only 20% of them actually have employees. So we're talking about a very small group of business owners, regardless of whether it's male or female, white, Latina, black. Almost every small business struggles to go beyond that one-person shop. What we hear from people that they need is they need access to mentoring, they need access to capital, they need access and to see others being successful to know that they can, which is why I like what's happening here in Detroit with the New Economy Initiative and some of the projects it has going on, where it's reaching out and providing sort of the insight to say, okay, you're small and struggling now. We're going to give you a little bit of capital as a loan, sometimes as a grant, but we're also going to put you in touch with mentors to help you see how you can grow and see how you can imagine your business being larger. Because sometimes I find with these very small entrepreneurs, they're not even thinking large enough. The idea of having a $50 million a year of business is so foreign to them that they're not thinking big enough yet. So we're working on getting some of those thinking skills, getting them the ability to even dream bigger than they could know. The other piece is that I really like, and I think it comes back to the food production and food manufacturing. Sandy Brewer from the Detroit Regional Chamber has called these small businesses sort of the Henry Fords of our time, and I really, really believe that. We just watched Garden Fresh sell to Campbell Foods a couple of weeks ago for like $231 million. That is the biggest exit almost anybody has seen financially in this region in a really long time, but they started in unheated kitchens. We're watching these small entrepreneurs do the same thing with their salsa or with their jams. And they may look small now, but one, two, three employees can suddenly become 10 employees, 20 employees. And if we get enough of those women doing these kinds of businesses that, again, look small individually, but you create this really great network of three, four-person shops, those create growth. We see all of this effort and excitement coming in around them, whether that is, again, Garden Fresh and the mentoring work that they do with a company named Drought, which is owned by five women here in town. They make raw pressed juices, but Garden Fresh has been the one there helping them, mentoring them, guiding them on what to do with their manufacturing processes, how to get through Department of Agriculture. We have an amazing network here in Southeast Michigan for helping all of these businesses, particularly food businesses, because we have such a strong agricultural economy here, that's what's growing small businesses in our area.
You will find Amy Heimerl's report, The Fastest Growing Group of Entrepreneurs in America, at fortune.com. Lots to talk about. Amy, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much for having me.